As you heard Pastor Don, they are back home from their vacation and resting up this morning at home. And so I have to behave myself because he could still see me online and what I do. But we are in a series, Joy in the Journey. Okay, we are all on a journey. The journey of following Jesus Christ. Okay, and I hope and trust that we do have joy in the journey. And but sometimes it might not be all joy. There might be some suffering, probably, maybe some pain, some struggles that we go through, some shortcomings. And we ask the question, how can I find joy in all of this? And my only response can be is that we have to approach whatever happens to us in a positive manner, that whatever is meant for bad, we can turn it into good. We can say, thank you, Lord, for showing me something in my life that I did not see before, and that is joy for us. So Paul began his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3. Sorry about the PowerPoint this morning, and because Pastor Don had to be on vacation and everything happening, we just could not put it together. So I encourage you to take your Bibles, if you brought one to church. If not, there is one in the row of chairs in front of you, and find Philippians chapter 3. And let's look at what Paul had to say to the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 3, and we will focus on verse 1 through 11. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs. Wow. Those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, and the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is true faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. And may your Holy Spirit be our guide and our teacher. In your name we pray. Amen. Joy in serving. The Apostle Paul is saying that if there is no joy in serving Jesus Christ, there will be no motivation for us to continue on. And I realize if we don't have this joy, we are not going to be able to even share that joy with somebody else. I know some people, they believe or they have a belief system, but they are not happy with their belief system. But because they are in it, and because it has been for so long that they have been in it, because they are troubled, they are frustrated, there are lots of questions that they want to ask, but they don't know how to get out of that system. And I know some people, there are probably one or two who would give their testimony that God has helped me to get out of the Jehovah Witness because of what they believe in. But we are glad today that we have this belief system that we are happy about. We have proven it to be true over and over again, being the power of Jesus Christ. And so that gives us that joy that we have. And that's why he said, when he says, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Have joy, be happy in whom you believe, and that is Jesus Christ." Folks, the enemy is going to try to knock you off your feet. The enemy is going to try to sway you, to bring doubts and fears to you. The enemy is going to try to steal your joy that you have. But we need to be strong. We need to be grounded. We need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And we need to tell the enemy, not today. There's no place for you today. I've seen a t-shirt like that with somebody. There's something interesting before we continue any further. We don't have much time to get into this in detail. But that is, Paul stated that it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Okay, take note. It is no trouble for me. So you don't worry about me. Worry about what you are about to read or what I have to say to you. This meant that Paul wrote more than one letter to the Philippians. Because if he's saying, "I'm writing to you again, the same things." So the question is, what happened to that letter or those letters that he wrote? The only answer we have, probably they got lost like so many other manuscripts and letters that, you know. I came across a book about the lost books of the Bible. I never really read it, but that indicates that if everything that was said and done was recorded in the Bible, we would probably need a hand truck to bring our Bible to church. It would be so big and so heavy that we couldn't carry it by ourselves. And so Paul is saying that this is no problem for me. Paul sets down what we may call the necessity of repetition. The necessity of repetition. Now, some people have problem with repetition. I have heard that before, and I don't want to hear it again, and things like that. But repetition is not all bad. It's not all negative. In fact, Paul had no problem with repetition. And one of Joyce Meyer's members said to her one day, "Pastor, we have heard that message before, not long ago." And Joyce Myers replied, "When you or the church start doing the things that first message said, then I'll move on to something else." But you know, amidst all of that, what that is saying is that time and time again, regardless of how long you have been to church, 10, 15, 20, 40, 50 years, if God shows you a light, if God opened the door to something to you that was never opened before, walk in it. do as God is leading you. It's okay that it's not that, oh, I should have known this before because I'm an elder or I'm a member of the board or whatever the case may be, but walk in that light. But God's Holy Spirit is going to show us what we need to do. So let's look more closely into this passage of Scripture. The Bible, speaking of joy in believing, joy in what? First of all, that the Bible is our safeguard. The Bible is our safeguard. Always, if we have questions, if we have doubts, if we are confused, we can always go to the Word of God and we will be directed and we will be shown what God wants from us. He will give us the answers. Not to mention that, you know, if you go to your pastor or one of the elders of the church or whatever and talk to them about something, that they would not show to you what God's Word says. But the Bible is our safeguard. Safeguard from what? Paul says, watch out for those dogs. I tell you what, you know, Paul was not only not afraid of repetition, but he was not afraid to tell it as it is. He was a straight shooter, always. He was a straight shooter. Now, with us, a dog is a well-loved animal. Now, we have two dogs in the family, not us in particular, but Stephen and Deidre and the grandkids have two dogs. Okay, Gunner and Scruffle. Loving dogs, animal. The kids love the dogs. I mean, they're all over them. When I open that door to go into the house, I mean, Gunner, both of them, they're all over me, but they're loving, caring dogs. But it was not so in the time of Jesus and in the East. The dogs in those days, they roamed the streets, sometimes in packs, hunting garbage dumps and rubbish heaps and snapping and snarling at anyone who passes by. In Matthew 7 verse 5 it says, that which was holy was never be given to the dogs. So Paul's answer to the Jewish leaders, he says to them, in your proud, selfish righteousness, you call other men dogs. In your nationalistic pride in being a Jew, you call other nations dogs. But in fact, and here where Paul hits them under the belt, in fact, it is you yourselves who are dogs, because you shamelessly pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, beware of those dogs. One, because those men who do evil. And this is talking about the Jewish Christians who held on to all the Old Testament Jewish laws, especially the submission to the rite of circumcision in order to receive salvation. He said, be careful of those evil men. Not only that, but they give others a difficult time, or so to speak, hell, who would not comply to their belief system. They had invested so much time and effort in keeping their laws, they could not accept the fact that all their efforts could not bring them closer a step of their salvation. They would not believe it. He says, watch out for those guys, those men who are mutilators of the flesh. The men or the authorities or powers to be at the time who believe that no one that or that everyone must be circumcised in order to receive salvation. They believe that that piece of flesh has to be cut off as an indication that you are qualified to be a Christian. And that's the only way, because salvation was for the Jews and not for the Gentiles. William Barclay said this. He says, "Now circumcision is only a sign in the flesh. It is something which is done to a man's body. But if a man is to be or have a special relationship with God, and if God is to be near to that man, and if that man is to be near to God, then something far more is needed than a mark on the body. Jesus Christ, by faith. Beware of those false prophets and teachers." In Matthew 7 and verse 15, "Watch out for those false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." 2 Peter 2:1, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you," even speaking of us today, that they are false prophets. "They will secretly induce destructive heresies, even denying the serving Lord," or the sovereign Lord. Secondly, joy in believing is that we are the one who are truly circumcised. We Christians today are the one who are truly circumcised. And I'm going to explain that, because I don't want you to confuse circumcision as to the cutting part of that piece of flesh. We are truly circumcised not by cutting off the piece of flesh, but by cutting off the rites and the rituals and the religious beliefs and following all the laws, cutting off of all of that and following Jesus Christ as the only one that through him we can have salvation. We are the ones who are truly circumcised. And because of that, we worship by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is leading in a certain direction, we don't have to follow an agenda. For example, like if God's Holy Spirit is leading and Josh has an agenda or an outline of how the songs is going to be, but God's Holy Spirit came and took over, and there is repetition of that one song over and over again, and people are praising God and lifting up their hands. People are coming to the altar and praying. That's worshiping in the Spirit. In John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." We glory in Christ. We do not glory in a man, in a rabbi, in a priest. We do not glory in a set of laws and rules and regulation, but we glory in Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, no one else. We are truly circumcised because we put no confidence in the flesh. Real circumcision is not a sign of the flesh, but devotion of heart and mind and thought and life to God. That is true circumcised. Christians are truly circumcised not with an outward badge or a mark in the flesh, but that inner and spiritual circumcision and cleansing of the heart through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That what true circumcision is, and that is what we are today. Joy in believing that it is not about accomplishments. It's not about what we have done. It's not about our successes. It's not about all the degrees that we have behind our name. Paul was one of the greatest philosophers and teachers of the law in those days, and whatever he was before he became a Christian. He had all of this. And in verse 4 to 6 in Philippians chapter 3, it looks like Paul is boasting about his achievements, but he is actually doing the opposite, because he says, showing that human achievements, no matter how impressive they might be, cannot earn a person salvation and eternal life with God. You know, I admire those men and women, you know, professional people who are believers in Jesus Christ. And whatever came after the name didn't matter. Doctor so-and-so, a specialist, a surgeon, or whatever the case may be, didn't matter. But what mattered to them is the fact that Jesus Christ came into their hearts and made a difference. All those rest of the things didn't matter to them. Paul had great achievements. If we continue the study of Paul and see all that he had accomplished in his life, he had great accomplishment, but those things did not bring him salvation. It was only through faith in Jesus Christ that he had salvation, and none of those things had anything to do with it. Joy in believing that our relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than anything else. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is more important. Not our relationship with the law, not how well we have kept the law. And those people who had a close relationship and connection with the law, where every I was dot and every T was crossed. And that's how close they were. And that's how strongly they believe in the law. But Paul is saying that our relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than anything else. Is there something in your life or someone in your life that is more important than Jesus Christ? I can't answer that question for you. But if you have doubts and fears about who is number one in your life, you need to do business with God and ask Him to help you to set your priorities right. That he should be number one and no one else. Paul worked hard and he studied for long hours to find genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. But he did not find it until that one day when he encountered Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. And he was taken to a house. Someone prayed for him. He was blinded. The scale fell off of his eyes. He received salvation that day. Life took on new meaning for him. And ever since, he was never the same man again. From that point, nothing else matters to Paul than to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Forget about the laws. Forget about rites and rituals and everything else. Now, it is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And then joy in believing is that our righteousness comes from God alone. Our righteousness comes from God alone. Let me just quickly share a verse with you in where this is talking about. Verse 7, if you have your Bibles open in verse 7 and on. But let's take it from the middle of verse 8. I count all those things rubbish, he said, or I count all those things lost. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Our righteousness that we have today is not from the law, is not from following rules and regulation, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Our righteousness comes, first of all, because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then from that point, we move on as we continue to read his word and listen to God's messages. We continue to learn and to grow and to mature. And that's our righteousness in Jesus Christ. Do you have that joy today? Are you happy with where you're at? Don't let anyone or anything or any circumstance steal that joy from you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And most of all, we thank you that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our personal Savior. And we don't want to know anyone else. Your word says, to whom shall we go? There is no one else. Jesus Christ. Jesus is why we are here today. Jesus is why we are going to come back next week. Jesus is why we are going to live out our life that others may see Christ in us. That's our joy. And so help our folks today that whatever may come their way, that they will keep their eyes focused on Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of their faith.